You are not required to prove yourself to others. God approved of you when you accepted His Son's sacrifice and started a relationship with Him, period. This powerful quote comes from guest Pastors Wives Tell All. And yes, I said guest plural because this episode is full of deep and funny real talk as I sat down with these three ladies to share their hearts about ministry, life, and stigmas surrounding mental health and therapy in ministry, which, as you know, is a passion of mine. But before we dive in, welcome to Real Talk with Rachel. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert, and I'm a therapist on a mission to bridge the gap between faith and therapy. These episodes are meant to be educational, not a replacement for your therapist. You're going to want to stick around until the end of today's show for our Let's Get Real Practical segment. This is where I share counselor-approved strategies to take the topic discussed with today's guest and make it relevant in your everyday life through simple action steps. I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler. I talked to you about faith and therapy, right? Back there. We haven't done that yet on this show, so let's do that on that segment. But let's go ahead and formally introduce you to today's guest, Stephanie Gilbert. By the way, I'm not related to Stephanie. Jessica Taylor and Jenna Allen are the authors of Pastors' Wives Tell All, Navigating Real Church Life with Honesty and Humor. And they're the three co-hosts of the Pastors' Wives Tell All podcast. This is a podcast by pastors' wives for church leaders and anyone desiring to peek inside their proverbial glass houses. As best friends from three different churches and denominations, they are breaking down walls within the church and crushing pastor wifey stereotypes with a little ministry therapy and a whole lot of Jesus, plus the occasional Instagram dance party. If you don't follow them over there, you're missing out. Go find them, Pastors Wives Tell All on Instagram. Well, let's do it. Please help me welcome those dancing ladies of Pastors Wives Tells All to the show. Well, hello, Stephanie, Jessica, and Jenna. I think that's the most people I've introduced on one show at a time. Welcome to Real Talk with Rachel.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were one of the many podcasts that I got to be interviewed on when I was releasing my book. And I still can tell you that was the most fun I had on any of the podcasts I've ever been on. So congratulations.
Oh. Just like to have a party over
we
here.
We do. Right? We do.
It was so fun. I loved it. And I can't remember, one of you was eating a lollipop when we were being, when you interviewed me. Who was it?
It was Jessica.
Jessica.
Uh-huh. I don't think I've eaten another one since then on a podcast.
Really?
But you were special.
I love it. I love it. I'm like, yes, these are my people. So I'm excited now that you get to come over and talk with me and my listeners get to meet all of you. So for the listener who says, I don't know these three ladies, can you tell us about you and your ministry?
Sure. Okay, I'll go first. Hi, my name is Jenna, and I have a husband named Ian, and we have two kids. We have Addie, who is 11, and Avery, who is 8. And my husband is actually the production director at our church that we attend now, but he has done everything from youth pastor to worship pastor. Worship has a special place in his heart. He's been doing that for as long as I can remember. And he loves pastoring and discipling other pastors as well. So, and he also runs a worship nonprofit in our city.
How neat. What city are y'all in?
We are in Phoenix City, Alabama, which is real close to Columbus, Georgia.
Okay.
And I guess I should mention what I do. sometimes I forget. Well, obviously this podcast, but then I also am a photographer and I do web design and logo design as well.
Oh, neat. Awesome. Yeah. And of course, we'll talk more about this, but y'all's podcast name is
Pastor's Wives Tell All.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah. And y'all are on social media. So we'll share all the things when we get done talking. But okay, go ahead. Next.
Yeah. And my name is Jessica, and my husband is Jonathan. And we have two beautiful girls, Grace and Olivia. And I run a nonprofit out of Rwanda, Africa. Three, two, one, Africa. And it is absolutely a blast to do. And it's called Come Away Missions. And yeah, doing this podcast and living the pastor wife life as well. So
That's what I do.
Okay. So I'm Stephanie, and my husband and I have been in youth ministry since we got married, which has been amazing the past 16 and a half years. But it was probably back in 2019 that I felt the Lord kind of putting on my heart something about women. And that's kind of where this podcast idea was birthed for Pastors' Wives Tell All. And I had met these two ladies, and I just felt like all of us were a little bit different than, you know, what you would picture as a pastor's wife. And I remember always feeling like I didn't fit in, that I was different. I was too loud. I was too much there. You know, I wasn't that meek and quiet spirit, or that's what I interpreted in my head that I was not. And I found out that they felt the same way. And so the podcast was born out of this friendship and just understanding that there's a lot of things people don't talk about. And I remember getting horrible advice in the beginning, like, don't have friends in your church, and among a bunch of other things, which now we talk about those things. We're bringing them to the light. We want the church to kind of see what their pastor and his family goes through, and then also what their pastor's spouse is dealing with. And then also to bring life to the pastor's family, because there is just so much that goes on behind the scenes that people just don't know. They just don't know.
Oh, and this is why you guys are the perfect candidates for Real Talk with Rachel, because that's my heart for this show, is we talk about all the things that I just don't think are discussed enough out in the open and honestly with great conversations. And Stephanie, you are our British accent girl, right?
Oh, no,
it's all of us. All of us. But this one right here started it, Jessica.
Oh, okay. Yes, okay.
I've been doing it ever since I was little with my mother.
I love it. Okay. And on y'all's podcast, is this something you bring in frequently?
Of course it is. 100%. Also, they need to join us on Thursdays for our Spill the Tea episodes, because just the intro alone is British accent, and you're just going to love it.
And instrumental music and all the things.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Yeah. I need y'all to be my pastor's wives. Like, you guys are amazing. So do your husbands, do they work at the same church or no?
No.
Okay. But y'all live near each other.
We do. We live literally like a mile or two away from each other. Even Jenna and Stephanie live even closer. But my husband is a lead pastor, and like Jenna said, her husband has been a lot of things, but right now the production minister at y'all's church. Yeah. And then Isaac, Stephanie's husband, is the youth pastor. So, and we're all at three denominations, three different churches, but all in the same area.
How neat. I love when the Lord does that, bringing the body of Christ together in such a unique and fun way. Well, you know, whenever I was on your podcast, I shared, but my listeners may not know this about me. Sometimes I think before we hit record, I was like asking you guys some things you haven't had a chance to talk about. And you're like, I don't know, because I have my own podcast. So sometimes I forget people don't always know things about me, because I'm like, yeah, I've told everybody this, but I'm a pastor's kid. So I'm not a pastor's wife, but I'm a pastor's kid. So I think that's the other reason I love your ministry so much, because it's like a huge gap, huge pain point in the church. And it's interesting. I honestly, when my husband and I got married, I thought I was going to be a pastor's wife. That's actually we thought towards ministry, and then the Lord pivoted us and we ended up becoming business owners, which I now see we get to do lots of ministry. It just looks different. So I think I secretly have always been like, I want to be in the cool kids club, but I bet you guys, you know, I want to be in the pastor's wives club, but I'm sure y'all have,
you know, you're in it.
All are welcome.
Yeah. But it's just interesting though, you know, it's the whole, something looks so shiny and fun on the outside, right? Oh, the pastor's wife, that must just be so much fun all the time and just amazing. I know that's not the truth, but it just, you know, whatever we don't have, we think is, you know, glorious. And so let's talk about some of these things. We'll jump kind of right in your book. It's called Pastor's Wife Tell All, right? And let's jump into, I know the first couple of chapters, you guys jumped right into the expectations for pastor's wives. I think, Stephanie, you briefly started to hit on this when you're like, I didn't think I fit the mold of what I should look like necessarily, what a pastor's wife would look like. So what were some expectations that have been placed on each of you over the years, and how'd you combat those?
Oh my goodness. There's so many. I think that any pastor's wife would say that when they become a pastor's wife, they all of a sudden have this feeling that they have to look a certain way. They have to act a certain way. Their marriage has to be perfect. They can't let anybody know that they have problems. Their kids are obedient all the time. And it's a lot of pressure. You know, you can't have tattoos. You can't have, like, there's just so many different things. Maybe you play the piano. Oh my gosh, I have to play the piano because I'm the worship pastor's wife. Yeah. Newsflash, none of us play the piano. But that's heavy and it can become exhausting because there are a lot of people out there who actually just have this idea that that's how pastor's wives are supposed to be. But then we put that pressure on ourselves too when we start comparing ourselves to other pastor's wives and what we think their life is like. So it's just been, it can be exhausting, but I think the way to combat that is identity. Like, we got to realize whose we are and know that our identity is in Christ and Christ alone. And then once we know that, then we can walk into the calling that he has for us. And we'll know that we're not supposed to try to look like anybody else or be like anybody else. We need to walk in the calling that he has for us.
And I think she made that great point at the end there, because I'll say me personally, when I had babies, and I had been so involved in the youth group, like, I loved being with the teenagers, I started feeling a disconnect because we had moved away from home. I had no family where we were, and I have these tiny babies and I'm having to be home a lot. And I remember thinking, first of all, there's something, I must be unworthy or something. I'm not coming to all these things. Other women are showing up and they have small kids too, but they had families there and they had people taking care of their children along with them. They were raising them among tribes. And I just didn't have that. And so I remember thinking, like, everyone's going to think bad about me if I'm not at these things, if I'm not doing what I used to do. That was in my head. Nobody was saying that out loud.
Right.
I was just creating this in my head. And I remember thinking, I just didn't feel worthy of even being there or being married to my husband, and just thought, like, what is even happening, among other problems. But that was one of the first, I think, lies that came into my head there when I had young children.
Yeah. So then how can we, you know, again, those of us who aren't in that position, support the pastor's wives and the pastors for that matter?
I think one thing is just checking in on us. I literally this morning we got a DM of a pastor, a youth pastor's wife, that she said, "Hey, I've been listening to your podcast and y'all did an episode where, you know, we want to be asked out to coffee. And if you're not a pastor's wife, like, telling the church, like, ask them out to coffee, go get a meal with them, see how they're doing." And she's like, "I felt very convicted, but I was scared to ask her because I know she's busy." Mm-hmm. And, but she ended up feeling very convicted about it during 21 days of prayer. And she said, "I'm going to eat lunch with her today." And I asked her. And so I'm so excited about that, because I think that is the big thing, is we just want to be included. And so many times the church doesn't want to include us because they think that they have to act a certain way around us. But really, one of our missions is to show people through social media and through our podcast and through meeting us and meeting other pastors' wives that we are all the same as the church. And we always have, like, our little this little tagline of "stop putting us on a pedestal." You know, we're not intended to be on that pedestal, and our husbands aren't either. It's for Jesus and him alone. And we're all a church body and all equal. So that's the biggest thing, is just look at us just like you do any other person. And we need friendship and we need relationships, and we want to be able to be with y'all and hang out with you.
Yeah. And Jessica, what I also loved about that was that example you just gave, is that the woman almost said, "Oh, they're too busy." Like, they almost made that decision for you. And that's something I have to remind myself of a lot. We can't, because people will say that to me. I'm not a pastor's wife, but I am in leadership roles and things. And they'll lead all the time with, "I know you're so busy, but could we do this?" Like, and so something that kept them for a long time is just knowing, "Oh, you're so busy." Well, it is true. But even if the answer is no, it makes somebody feel special to be able to go, "I was invited," you know, even though maybe I can't yet, might be 3 months before I can take you up on that coffee date. Mm-hmm. At least you thought of me and you included me. And that is huge. It's bigger than we realize, I know. Yeah.
Right. Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, that was one of the things I told her. I said, do you want to be asked out? Like, you're super busy. You are a mom of two and running a youth ministry with your husband, and you have another job. Like, you're busy. Like, sometimes we forget and we look at other people, but then like ourselves are very busy. Right. And I was like, do you want to be asked to coffee and a meal? And she's like, yeah, of course. Yeah. So definitely don't be afraid.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And Jenna, I liked what you said a little bit ago about how you were given the example of, you know, they just assume I played the piano or, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's a thing we see, I think, with pastors and pastors' wives that we have this weird thing that we think they're good at everything, right? Mm-hmm. Or like they could do all the things. And it's probably true. They are gifted at many things, but it makes me think if I was in a conference last year, I think, and it was a woman who her husband had recently become a pastor. They had been in the business area before this. And she said, I'll never forget the first Sunday where he was, you know, officially pastor during the service is going on, and she gets a tap on the shoulder, and she's like, yeah. And she, and a man had approached her. And so she went out to the, you know, lobby to talk with him. And he said, there's some dog poop in the area where the kids are playing, and we need you to get that cleaned up before, you know, before like the church service lets out. And she's like, okay. And so she's like, so I'm out there scooping dog poop. Like, I guess this is part of my new role now, you know? So obviously, you know, it just,
first of all,
I
have questions. I'm just like, the man, instead of going and helping and getting the dog poop up, came to get the pastor's wife and ask her to do it.
Yeah.
There are so many things wrong with that.
That is so many things.
She might be a good, I can, you know, later send her info over. She might be a good guest for y'all to have on your show to talk to. Because, there's so many levels of this wrong. Like, we could dissect that whole scenario for the next half hour. But it was, and she was laughing about it at that point, you know, like, okay, I guess this is it. But, you know, that's a silly, ridiculous example, though, to show. I do think there's those expectations that people think, oh, you wear all the hats and you're really good at wearing all the hats. And they forget, just like you've been saying, you're also human, right?
Poo-poo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Well, because I think there are a lot of pastors' wives who do feel like they should do all of those things.
Yeah.
And be all things to all people. So they step in those roles to fill those holes in churches. And then not only are they not doing what they're called to do, or maybe what their spiritual gifts are, but they're keeping someone from being in that role that is called to that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not called to the kids ministry. If I step in and fill a hole, then I'm preventing somebody who loves children, which I do love children. Let me just say that I love children, but that's not where I want to serve at church.
Yeah.
So you're preventing somebody from, you know, who really feels called to love on children at church from walking in their calling.
Yeah. That's so good. Okay. So I want to move on to, and again, this is a concept I can relate to because I was a family in ministry. You talk about living in a fishbowl. Can you explain that to our listeners, what you mean by that?
I feel like you're on display. This is a funny story just to kind of set the tone. So when we moved to our first town for our first church position, I remember one Sunday, just a few Sundays in, a lady comes up to me and she says, and this is a small town. So I get that a lot of times this might be different in bigger cities, but this lady walked up to me and she said, you know, I saw you using your front driveway the other day. You never use that front driveway. You always use the back one. And I remember being like,
whoa,
what you right now. But, and that's a silly example. Obviously that doesn't happen everywhere, but I feel like it kind of fits with what we go through, because if the pastor or his wife or his kids do something, they fall, they mess up. I'm not talking about big, huge circumstances right now. I'm just talking about little things.
Yeah.
Like the pastor's wife lost her temper.
Yeah.
Or the kid is running through the church, you know, things like that. It's looked at like, well, your kids should know better.
Yeah.
You know, everyone is watching, and you feel like no matter what area you're in, if you have an argument with your spouse and somebody hears it or sees it, it's a much bigger deal than if you were just a regular churchgoer. So, and I think that's kind of what we all are feeling sometimes, are like, oh, if I don't show up to church, they're all going to be wondering, well, why is she skipping out on church? What's going on? Yeah. You know, it's not even all the time concern. It's just, well, where is she? Why wasn't she at that event?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. So then what's the solution to this? Because this is the tale as old as time, right? small or big church or small town, big town, all of it. I'm like, yeah, it's just, but I don't know the solution. Do y'all have any ideas?
We've talked about this before a lot of times. I think that it's so hard, first of all, because I know there's a lot of people out there that are at churches that are large or just have been very established for many years. And there's so many things already set in place that are not budging. But one thing I know that, like Jonathan and I with our church, which started as a church plant, but we came in about a year into it. So we still dealt with a lot of that, but a lot of that was already kind of dealt with. But he was the first pastor that came in that was not on live feed. And so for us, it was really praying with our staff and creating a new culture. I think that's really one of the best ways. It has to come from the top, and the church needs to see the pastor and his wife out and about. They need to see him and her maybe have a little spat or get onto their kids, or, you know, say, hey, know that you can, like, if my kid is running, tell them, like, don't treat my kids differently. Start to impress and tell people, like, we are just the same. You know, one thing I've said on our podcast before, one of the ladies at our church one time, I saw when she walked in one morning and she, you could just tell something was wrong. And she's like, yeah, just, you know, me and my husband just having a fight on the way to church. I was like, oh girl, been there. You know, she's like, really? And I was like, yeah, all the time. Like, and I even told her just to kind of be funny, but also let her know, like, been there. I was like, man, in my 20s, we used to fight. And like, I used to do some crazy, like trying to knock on the door. He tried to hide from me. And I'm like, no, we're going to talk. Like, we're going to get this out so we can move on, you know, and just kind of talk about serious things, but also kind of make her laugh and make light of it. And she's like, oh, I just didn't know that, like, y'all had those problems or y'all had fights or arguments. And I was like, yes, like, we have those. And so I think it's really huge for people, for us to start being more vulnerable. I think that's, I think the blanket statement is from the top, the pastor and his wife, to staff, to ministry leaders. People need to start being vulnerable. And if they are vulnerable, then people are going to, walls will start to break and change will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That vulnerability is so key because, you know, even when you think about sermons where illustrations are given, a lot of times people will be vulnerable from 20 years ago, right? Like back 20 years ago, before I knew Jesus, this was all the, these were all the sins that I participated in, but then there's nothing that's current. And I'm always like, what'd you do last week? Like, that's in the in the back of my brain. I'm like, it was 20 years ago, really, the last time you sinned? Well, come on now, give us something, you know, like, make it to where, and of course, obviously, as we mature, we should have less things in our life. And all, just like we've already been talking, we're not talking about huge character, you know, moral failures here. But just like you said, the argument last week that you had, or the lost my temper there, or whatever, just being more vulnerable and sharing those kinds of things definitely helps. And then it makes, I think, those of us who are on the outside not even have the temptation to want to do the fishbowl thing. Cause I'm like, I already see you're swimming in your muck just like I am. Right. You know, like there's no glory there. So that's good. Okay. I want to talk about, in chapter 9 of your book, it's titled The Pastor's Wife Goes to Therapy Too. Gasp. Let's talk about this. I want to talk about some mental health stigmas that show up in the church and, y'all's experiences with this.
Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, let me just say that a lot of the time when we get together to podcast with each other, it's like one big therapy session.
I bet.
You know, we've had times when we've gotten together to record a marriage episode and one of us will have just fought with her husband the whole night before. And we come in heavy that morning and that's warfare. Let's get real. But we'll have a little therapy session, you know, right before we start to record, because we all go through those things and we all struggle with the things that everybody else struggles with, like Jessica said. But yeah, I think there definitely is this like stigma behind mental health. And I don't think mental health is talked about enough in the church.
Yeah. It seems to be popular to be talking about it right now on social media, but I don't think the church has fully grasped it. Now, I grew up in the kind of church culture where you just needed Jesus more. You needed to pray more. You needed to get in the word more. Something was not right in your life.
Yeah.
If you were struggling with depression or anxiety, I remember them really downing medicine and therapy and saying, no, you just need to get in the word more. You need to come to church and be more active and all of these things. Well, none of that is helpful when you're truly struggling with mental illness. And I think, like, I personally am on some medicine right now for some OCD things, and it has changed my life in a good way. And it took me a long time to get to the point where I was okay doing that. And I purposely now, I mean, I've told people, yeah, I'm medicated. Like, yeah. I make light of it, but I'm like, no, I am for real. Because I don't want to hide that or act like I'm above that.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I do struggle with some intrusive thoughts and just things. I mean, these ladies can tell you, I lived a very interesting life in my head. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's helping. And I want to change that because I feel like for so long I was afraid.
Yeah.
To do that because yeah. something would be wrong with me and I'm a pastor's wife.
Well, and I think all of us at one time or another are okay with saying that we have sat with a counselor.
Oh,
mm-hmm. And so I 100%. Think that I think also we need to be okay in talking more about that and how healthy it is to do that. And it doesn't matter. I mean, it took me years to hear enough pastor's wives and just friends say, man, like everyone should be in counseling, yep. you know? And I think that was hard, especially for like my pride. I was like, but I don't need counseling. I'll do the counseling, you know? And so I think that we have to all remember counseling is a good thing.
Yep.
It's a good thing for someone to just sit and hear what's going on. And so I think if each person in the church is more open about how that struggle is and, you know, that they have seen a counselor or going to a marriage counselor or whatever, I think that also, you know, breaks down those walls as well and gives people the freedom to go, okay, well, if they're doing it, then I could do it. You know?
And I think, yeah. Jessica, you hit the nail on the head when you said pride, because it is pride. I feel like it's that thinking of, well, I'm supposed to be above this. I am above this. I don't need help. But the Bible says over and over and over again that we need to seek out wisdom.
Right.
That we need a multitude of counselors. Like, why do we think that that doesn't go to us? That those verses aren't talking about us, but they are. Yeah. Like, we are not above that. And pride gets in the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or maybe you're worried about what other people will think if they'll find out. I mean, that's still prideful because you're worried about what they're thinking, but we the same. We're all the same.
Yeah. Oh, I can literally hear the chains of bondage being broken off just by y'all talking about a couple things here. The first one I'll start with is, you know, Stephanie, you mentioning the medication. You know, me being a Christian counselor, I can't tell you the number of times I have had somebody in my office where they almost whisper, what do you think about me getting on meds? You know, like they're scared, you know, because they're like, they're a Christian and they're like, I don't, you know, they want to know their options. And so, right. Of course, I talk through them with options and, you know, everything. But yeah, like, and I explain, you know, that is something that it's kind of like if you knew you had pneumonia, why wouldn't you take what's going to help with that? You know, like we would totally take it. Right. And so anyhow, that people just hearing that yes, it's not always needed, but man, when it is and when it's helpful and you notice immediate changes in your life, then why would we, or why would even the Lord withhold that from somebody if it can help them? So that I'm glad you brought that up. And then the counselor piece, that's huge because honestly, so I am a licensed counselor, but fun fact, I had never been to a counselor until I went to school to become one, which is kind of funny. But, you know, when I was in graduate school, my university would provide so many free sessions that we could utilize. And I thought, you know what? I've never seen somebody. Let's go, you know, me prideful way, like, let's go see how they do it. You know, I'm going to go learn. Well, of course it wrecked me. And like, I was like, oh my gosh, I never knew what I was missing. And, you know, like it totally blew my mind. And of course I got a lot of healing and it made me that much more excited about what I'm going to do. But one thing I tell people too about counseling is that it is one of the best gift I think counselors bring to the table. Not all our degrees, not the licenses, all that stuff's great, whatever, it's information. The thing that really we bring to the table is you get now an unbiased somebody who is not emotionally attached to the situation. They don't know the parties involved because we're not even allowed to have dual relationships. And so that's one of the biggest things that we bring. Yes, all the training and whatnot, but it's the fact that you can come into a room that you know is confidential, with the exception is if you tell you're going to hurt yourself or someone else. That's the only time we can break confidentiality. I don't know who you're talking about. I'll never know who you're talking about. I'll never meet them in person. And that is so huge, right? Like, I mean, it's bringing other people in. And so there's a time and a place for it. And that's why we also have the body of Christ and we have friends and all of that. But then sometimes we do need that outside somebody who's like, there just to help you and listen and not go intervene or be part of what's happening in your world. So that is something that I'm like, yeah, I am glad that the stigma is starting to shift. But I really love, Stephanie, what you mentioned. And I guess my next question goes into this, of that you are seeing social media wise, it's shifting, but still not necessarily in the church. What's the solution there to start that shift within the church, or is there one?
Starts at the top.
Yeah.
Just like Jessica was saying a minute ago, I think that we need as many pastors telling their people these things are good. And this is why, this is what the word says. And this is why it's okay to go talk to someone that has some wisdom and that can help you walk through hard situations. Nobody's really talking about it from the pulpit necessarily, or not even pulpit, but even behind closed doors, we're very like, weird about telling people to go to therapy or to think about medication, because we think that we shouldn't do that. Now I'll say, my husband does that now. The more we have learned and grown and have had to use tools like this, he is very much one in a session with someone be like, this is beyond what I can do, but here's a good counselor that we know who will give you great guidance.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let me get you in touch with her.
That's what I was going to say from the top. So I think also there's a lot of pastors and people in leadership that are taking on counseling, whether marriage or just with someone by themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're the only counselor. And a lot of them are not even good at it or like called to it. So I think they're doing a lot of damage. I know like my husband and I, we will do so many. And then we're like, okay, nothing is helping. Here you go, you know, or it's something larger than we know we can handle or that we're called to, you know? Yeah. And so we'll pray with you, but here you go, here's a counselor. And so I think that's really been beautiful over the past, I would say year, especially because we have all now found this like amazing counselor that's right in our town. Mm-hmm. And so we're, I think, I've sent probably half of my church to this lady, bless her heart. I don't know how she's eating or, you know, having family time, but it's so cool now because like people, I'm going, hey, so-and-so, how is counseling going? And like, I remember a couple of weeks ago, one of the ladies was like, it's going so good. I love her. And I see like this light and like, they're just more peaceful. And because they're talking about things finally that they haven't talked about.
Yep.
To anyone ever. And so, you know, I just think that we need to be better at finding the right counselor too. Like I really struggled with for a long time because I didn't know anyone that was good, and I'm not going to send anyone if I don't know. So I think we need to be careful who we're sending people to, and even maybe go to them before you start sending. Because I think that also a lot of damage can be had if it's not the right person.
Oh, that's so good. I try to tell people that all the time. Hey, no two counselors are the same. So just because you've been to one and had a bad experience, it's just like any other profession in the world. You wouldn't stop going to the dentist or stop going to whatever just because you had one bad experience. And it is important. I always tell people, go look at their website, go see what theories they practice. And, you know, I know for me, I do get referrals from local churches and they do a whole interview process. Like it's a whole thing to even get approved as one of their people they'll refer to. So absolutely. Because, you know, even back to what we started talking about on this was how sometimes things like prayer and church aren't enough. I always like to also just, you know, remind even people in ministry that I don't believe in, and, you know, people who are going to counselors too, it is not an either or, it's a both and. Right. Like as a good counselor, I'm not going to tell you, hey, you can just stop praying, church, forget it. Bible, don't need it. Like, no, no, we're not throwing out one and saying this one's better. We're bringing them together and using all of them. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's good.
Exactly what needs to be done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So any counselor who tells you to throw out your Bible, you might want to keep packing and go find another one. Yeah, you know, that's not a good one. Okay. So as we come to a close, first of all, I know the listeners just have loved y'all, loved this conversation. Of course, y'all have your podcast they can tune into, but then your book. Tell us a little more about that. Tell us where they can obviously connect with you. Buy all the things, sign up for all the things, whatever.
Oh, yes. Okay. So the book is called Pastors' Wives Tell All, Navigating Real Church Life with Honesty and Humor. And let me say, there is a lot of humor. You will laugh, but there's also a lot of scripture and a lot of truth. And we are hoping that the church can be healed a little bit through the words in this book, not just pastors' wives, but pastors and church people who attend on the daily and are going, why does my church leader do what they do, or this pastor, or maybe even bring light to light some of the, you know, toxic, I'll say, pastors out there, or people who are narcissistic, all of these things. We want to bring all these things to the light so that the church can just be healthier and more whole. And where they can find us in the book. Well, we have a website, pastorswivestellall.com. And you will see the book. It's going to be the first thing you see on that website where you can click and see all the places where you can buy it, like Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Target. Right now we are doing pre-orders, and we even have on that page where you can claim your pre-order gifts, because when you pre-order, you get the Audible version for free once it's recorded. You get lock screens, you get free printables. You're going to be entered into a monthly giveaway between now and when the book releases April 30th. So you definitely want to get in on the fun now, of course. And plus, we all know that as people who have written a book, Rachel, you know this, bookstores want to know that the book is going to sell before they put it in their actual store. Like, we would love to actually see our book on the shelf at Barnes and Noble, not just online. Mm-hmm. So these pre-orders help. So, yeah.
And the only thing I was going to add is there's a lot of vulnerability in this book. I think that if the church will pick up this book, and the pastors and pastors' wives, I think that it will create great unity that is missing between the church and the leadership. And so I think there's a lot of vulnerability that is mentioned between our husbands and our lives. And so I think that people need to read it, because they're going to see after this book that we are all the same and that the struggles are deep and they are real, but how to handle them and how to walk away moving forward and not, you know, two steps back. So I think that's huge.
Oh, and we didn't mention the party. The party is on Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you like Instagram or TikTok, but we are at Pastors Wives Tell All. And once again, we try to make things a little bit lighter for leaders. Yes, we talk about hard things, but we also do a lot of fun things over there, like dance reels.
That's right. And for those of you who might already listen to our podcast and are thinking, oh, well, I don't need to buy the book because I listen to their podcast.
Oh, no.
No. Mm-mm. What Jessica said about there being vulnerability in there, like, we talk about things in the book that we have not talked about on podcast episodes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, go get the book.
I would say tell all is really happening in the book.
Yes.
Yes.
So get ready with the popcorn.
Well, for example, one of our endorsers, she actually messaged us. She texted us individually afterwards and she said, girls, I knew this book was going to be vulnerable. I didn't realize it was going to be that vulnerable. And she did not mean it in a mean way. She meant it in a good way. Yeah. But she said, wow. She said, I'm proud of y'all, but wow.
Yeah. I was going to mention that too. I got to be one of the endorsers, and that's what got me so excited about this message, was that it is not just for pastors, wives, and pastors. Mm-hmm. It is for the church body, and it's having those conversations, and like, it's almost like pulling back a curtain and us letting those of us who aren't, you know, in that role go, oh, that's what's happening behind there, and making y'all more human, and just like being able to relate because of that vulnerability. So I love it. Okay. And I do have to know, Audible, are you all going to be recording it with your British accents? Yes or no?
Well, we wish, but they said only one of us could do it. And then I don't know if they're going to let us do this accent or not, but it tells me great.
I don't think they're going to let us.
I'm going to ask though, if, you know, perhaps part of it.
I was going to say, there has to be little moments in there where they let you slip that in. I mean, come on. Which one of you is recording it? Do you know yet? or
Stephanie. Okay.
Yeah. Fun. Oh man. Okay. Well, thank you ladies again for taking time to come on this show. And also thank you for your work, not only in your roles as pastor's wives, but also the ministry you're doing just here, you know, with your podcast and now this book. We're super grateful for you and very grateful for that vulnerability and just the real talk. And I'm excited for my listeners to not only hear this episode, but get their hands on your book.
Thank you, Rachel.
You're amazing. Yes, this has been amazing. Thank you.
It's time for Let's Get Real Practical. This is part of the show where we take the topic discussed with today's guest and we get into some practical steps you can implement into your life right now. And I loved that, obviously, we didn't discuss this the entire show, but we definitely went there a bit with these ladies on those stigmas of mental health in church and, oh my goodness, seeing a counselor. And just last week, I had someone approach me and ask me a question for a friend. You know what that means, right? When you're asking for a friend, but really asking for yourself. And I say that jokingly because she did, you know, she jokingly asked for a friend, but then of course she brought it back around to her. And she asked me just point blank, she said, what would you say to the Christian who doesn't see the value in therapy? And she even went on to kind of explain after that, because I think that's a question a lot of people are asking. You know, she had a good heart behind this question because she went on to kind of talk about how she is seeing therapy really in many ways is taking off. Like it's becoming more well known and accepted, especially in the world, right? I mean, you're seeing a lot of people talking about now, oh, I went and saw my therapist and this is what we worked on and things like that. And she was kind of talking about her concern was she's seeing almost people are putting a higher value on therapy than their relationship with the Lord or, you know, hearing from God or getting in his word. And I thought she had a great point there. And so I'll tell you a couple of things I said to her and just maybe if that's you listening and you're going, yeah, you know, I've never seen a therapist and I'm not sure if I even should. And does that make me a bad Christian? And all these questions we kind of wrestle through. You're not alone on that wrestling. All right. I just want to say that for starters. And then I'll just tell you a few little tips to kind of think through. First of all, I tell you, it's not either or, it's both and. Right? It is not, we should not be going to therapy over reading our Bible or praying or saying therapy is the answer and just throw out Jesus from the picture. Okay. And if you're finding that that's what you're experiencing in therapy, you might want to keep searching for a different counselor. Maybe you're not seeing a Christian counselor who believes in the power of God's word and prayer and things like that. But then I'd say it's both and, meaning faith and therapy. I say that in the beginning of this show all the time, is the faith element is the foundation. Okay. Therapy is not our foundation. Faith and the word of God and Jesus, that's our foundation. That doesn't shake or move. That is always what we're standing on. But therapy and counseling and talking through, by the way, those words can just be used interchangeably. I don't have time to go into the difference between therapy and counseling, and really it's all the same. So don't overcomplicate things there, okay? But that said, being able to have a person who is not emotionally attached to your situation, who has a bird's eye view, who is trained in this area. We go through a lot of training, especially if you're seeing a licensed counselor. Not only do we have to have a master's level degree, we also have to have, most states it's 3,000 hours post-graduation, post-sitting for a national exam. So yes, we have lots of textbook training, but we also have a lot of field experience. We've seen a lot of things and we bring a lot of insight to the table. So no counselor should ever be telling you how to live your life. We're not there to be advice givers. Contrary to popular belief, I always let people know, hey, I can help lead you in the direction of you making a decision and you feeling empowered to be able to do that. But ultimately, you're living your life. Right. And so you have to be the one who comes to those decisions on your own. And so, again, back to that, it's not an either or. I'm not choosing Jesus or therapy. I'm doing both. And that is a really beautiful, powerful combination. The next thing I would tell you is that if you can't talk about it, it owns you. Meaning, if there are some things in your life that only you and Jesus know about, it might be time to let somebody else in. And for many people, it doesn't always feel super safe to let maybe a family member in. And of course, we want to get to that point where we can let a family member in. But starting somewhere to process some of those things that you have held on to for years and never shared with anybody, it's time to bring those things up and out. And finding a good licensed Christian counselor is a great place to do that. And then the third thing I would share is that Jesus, his name is Wonderful Counselor. I'm going to read to you from Isaiah 9:6, which says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Now, you might have heard this verse before and thought, oh, well, I have Jesus. He's my wonderful counselor. And that is true. But can I also offer you another angle of this? If you're seeing a Christian counselor, i.e. they have Christ in them, right? That means Jesus is in them, helping them counsel you. And I am very quick to admit, I don't care. Yes, it's great that I have degrees and I've got trainings and I've got licenses and all those things, but it's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit in me that empowers me to be a great counselor. So I just want to let you know that too, that, hey, if you're a little on the edge and not sure about seeing a counselor, just know that if they're a Christian counselor, Jesus is helping them counsel you in those moments, all right? So let's get practical and ask this. I want you to ask the Lord, do I have a negative stigma on seeing a counselor? Do I have negative thoughts or beliefs about seeing a counselor? And then the next question that I want you to ask God, because this is between you and the Lord, right? Are you directing me to see a counselor? Again, this needs to be something between you and God. Maybe he is and maybe he isn't, right? Like, that's between you and the Lord, not for me or anybody else to tell you. So just ask him that. And then if he is saying, yeah, I think this would be a good thing for you, there's some things that I'd love for you to work on with another trusted person. Some resources I would tell you, because another great question I get asked often is, how do I find a Christian counselor? Because it is true, not all counselors are created the same. And in case you don't know, most counselors, some states are starting to change this, but for the most part, at the time of this recording, you can't counsel across states. So like, I'm licensed in Texas, but I couldn't go counsel somebody who lives in California, right? Because my license is in Texas. So let's do this. I want you to go to two different places. You can look for one in your area. AACC.net, that's the American Association of Christian Counselors. Another great resource is Focus on the Family. If you go to their website, they have a Christian Counselors Network. And they're very vetted. You have to fill out a whole application to even be on that page. And so both of those places would be great resources. You get to punch in your where you live and they'll pull up different counselors that are Christian counselors in your area. All right. Well, let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for every single person who's sitting under the sound of my voice. Thank you, Jesus, that you are in me and it is through me that you're even just speaking and sharing these things today. I thank you that I get to partner with you in this. And I pray for all my listeners to have that same just feeling of partnership with you, that no matter what they're going through, we talked about a lot on today's episode, not just mental health, but all kinds of things. And so I just ask that whatever's coming up and out for the listener today, you'd meet them right where they're at. And you would do that. You would be their wonderful counselor. Above all else, Jesus, we bow our knee and humble ourselves before you. We recognize you as the very best counselor that's ever walked this earth. And so I do. I just pray that we can all draw near to you and hear your voice. Your sheep know and hear your voice, and we follow you. And then I also pray for the person listening who maybe has never seen a Christian counselor and thinks, you know what, maybe that is something the Lord's directing me to. If that's them, that you'd lead them to the right person, that you are saying, yes, this is going to be a next great step for you in your freedom journey. We love you, Father. We ask this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you guys for hanging out here at the end with me. And, you know, I want to remind you, if you have not already grabbed a copy of Image Restored, you can do it on Amazon. It's been deeply discounted. Again, I don't know how long they'll hold that for. So if you haven't gotten a copy or you are wanting to do a group, now is the time to go check that out. And of course, if you're new here and you're like, what are you talking about? Just go to imagerestoredbook.com and you can learn more. All right, well, I pray this Real Talk episode, it brought you one step closer to living free and pursuing your God-given dreams. And I'll see you back here next time on Real Talk with Rachel.